You are listening to ebuzz.com. Muhammad Rasulullah
alayhi salatu. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي درشي بالله آمين وصلي وسلم. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, when we study the system of Khilafat or rules and regulations in an Islamic state, we find that the non-Muslims or people of different religious identities, people of different background, different race, they were far better off in an Islamic country, in an Islamic rule, than even a country of their birth. This is a fact, an undeniable fact. They felt safer, Christians felt safer in a Muslim country than a Christian country. And when one studies history, general history, it speaks volumes. It is there in front of us. One of the main reasons for that, scholars have mentioned, is in Islam we have a system of Khilafat, and the person who is selected as a Khalifa, he is not selected due to his family ties or his descendancy, his connection. He will be selected as a Khalifa due to his taqwa. The more pious he is, the more God-fearing he is, the more knowledge he has of the Qur'an and the teachings of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, only then he will fit the criteria of becoming a Khalifa for the Muslim state, Islamic state. Very strict rules and regulations. From the time of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala until the Ottoman Empire, when we study Khilafat, that has been the case. These were people who were well versed in the Quran. Subhanallah. Today you will not find one alim, prime minister, or a president, or a head of state. But someone who knows English, he might qualify to be a president or a prime minister. But if someone who knows Quran and Hadith, he is considered to be backwards. Allahu Akbar. But when we look at Sharia, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq was A'lamun Nas, the most learned from all the companions. Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an, he was Hafiz of the Qur'an, he knew revelations, he knew exactly which verse, what verse it meant, everything. He had the full knowledge. The words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were in front of him. So for a person to become a Khalifa, there were certain rules and regulations. Some verses of the Qur'an that come to mind. One ayat in Surah An-Nisa, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ. O you who believe, those who have that position, who become leaders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ. Be the upholders of justice. شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ, bearing testimony of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, ولو على أنفسكم أو الوالدين أو الأقربين. Even if it means that by giving the right accurate decision you will have to go against yourself or your parents or your family members, that should not deter you from giving the right judgment. That is the first quality of a Khalifa, that he looks at the system of justice. Only then he qualifies to become a Khalifa. In another verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُ. Your enmity to any nation should not provoke you from being unjust. So you get some people, I might be in that position of giving judgment, but I might not like Idris, or might have some personal grudge against him. And he files a case in the Islamic court. And when I look at his name, I say, right, now I'll show him. So Allah is saying, your personal enmity, tumhari aapas ki dushmani, that should not provoke you from being unjust. I'adilu, Allah says, do justice. Huwa aqrabu littaqwa, that is closer to taqwa. And Allah says, wattaqullah, fear Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Why? Allah is informed of all your actions that you do. Subhanallah al-Azim. Only then that position of khilafat is given to that individual. These verses are something that dictate the mind and soul of a khalifa. Just two verses that come to the mind. Respected brothers, today what I wanted to do was to compare the Khilafat of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, Umar Farooq, or for that matter, the Khilafat of Khulafai Rashideen, with the Western democracies of today. Subhanallah, there was more freedom of speech and more freedom of religion and religious tolerance during the system of Khilafat, Khulafai Rashideen, than even what the West boasts today of freedom of speech and freedom of religion and religious tolerance that is out there. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. When you study Islam, everyone was given a choice. Every single individual. Freedom of opinion, freedom of expression. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an is the Khalifa. And you had Islamic courts. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an had selected some senior companions to hold that position of being a qazi, a Muslim judge. From amongst the Muslim judges you had Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, who was a judge in the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. You had people like Hazrat Zayd radiallahu ta'ala an. They were qazi in the time. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an was once walking past the courts, and he knew of these two parties that had a disagreement, and it was their final hearing and the judgment was given. And the qazi was Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an with Hazrat Zayd radiallahu ta'ala an. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an stopped and said to one of the person there from one party, "Bhai, faisla kya hua? What is the judgment given to your disagreement?" Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an heard the judgment and he said that, "Well, if I was the judge, I would have given a different decision than Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Zaid. A different decision than Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Zaid." So that person said, Amirul Mu'mineen, what stops you? You are the Khalifa of the believers. You can overrule any decision. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an said, no. If this was something that was violating the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then I would intervene and overrule this decision. But my opinion is just as good as the opinion of my brother Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. This is just my opinion. After hearing your case, both the parties, this is my opinion. But my opinion is just as good as the opinion of my brother Ali and the opinion of Hazrat Zayd radiallahu ta'ala. This was the beauty in the Islamic Khilafat system, respected brothers. Freedom of expression, freedom of opinion was open. Not only in the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq or Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an, but even in the time of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When the kuffar came from Makkah to attack the city of Madinatul Munawwara, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam's intention was to fight the kuffar from within the city of Madinatul Munawwara, to resist them from Madinatul Munawwara. When the companions heard of this, they came to him and they said, Ya Rasulallah, your wish is to fight the Quraysh from the borders of Madinatul Munawwara within the city. Is this divine revelation, guidance, divine guidance that you speak of, is it wahi from Allah that this is your decision, or is it your own opinion? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to the companions, this is not wahi, it is not divine revelation, it is only my opinion. The companion said to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, if it is your opinion, then we want to put our opinion to you. The companion said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is better to fight the kuffar from outside Madinatul Munawwara than Madinatul Munawwara, the inside section of Medina. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam accepted the opinion and said, from which region do you want to fight the Qurayshi people? And the companion said that the best location is the location of Uhud. And that is where the Muslims fought the people of Makkah, in the region of Uhud. This was mashwara. This was freedom of opinion, freedom of expression given to who? Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this idea that Islam bars you from everything, restricts you from everything, you have no choice, وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, that is never the case. Why we have never studied Islamic history? We have never opened up the seerah of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, the seerah of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Someone very learned was just telling me today that when Gandhi fought for independence in India, obviously one forgets that it was not just the Hindu community that was fighting for independence. There was a lot of financial support that was involved by the Muslims, and Muslims were at the forefront of the independence also. Musalmanon ki bari qurbani thi. When independence was finally given, Gandhi actually said to the people in power that if you want India to prosper, then you need to govern India like how Abu Bakr Siddiq and Umar Farooq in their times would govern their people. He was a man well versed in the Quran. He studied the Quran. He studied the history of Khulafa-i Rashideen. And he said to the close people that the best example for you is in the Khilafat of Abu Bakr and the Khilafat of Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. Hidayat is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How a person dies, that is only in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as far as knowledge is concerned, this man actually took the name of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. And he was a man who would very often praise the Quran. He would benefit from the Quran himself. So the system of Khilafat is very, very important. There was freedom all the way, my respected brothers. One man came to Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala and he started complaining. He said that when the Muslim army entered into Syria, they came from one area crossing my farm and they damaged my crops. That is my livelihood, that is my earnings. A complaint that came to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And this person, that farmer, was a non-Muslim. And the Muslim army is entering into Syria. When he came to Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an, respected brothers, it is said that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an paid him 10,000 dirhams in compensation. This is the justice system in Islam. 10,000 dirhams were given to him. No doubt we have a beautiful system of freedom of speech and freedom of religion, but it has its restriction also. You can't just swear at someone, humiliate someone, disrespect someone, or lift up a finger at someone and accuse him that that person has done this without valid proof. Allahu Akbar. That is why in the case of zina, when you study fiqh, there are rules and regulations. If a man was to accuse a man or a woman of zina, Allahu Akbar, in the Islamic system, it is very, very serious. If there's not sufficient proof, then that person will get lashed, the one who accuses. Proof must be there. Everything works on proof. In the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a man whose name was Bishr, he had a disagreement with one Jewish man. The Jewish man said to Bishr, who was a Muslim, his name is a Muslim, that let us go to your prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and you put this case to him and see what he gives his decision to. Now the Jewish man could have gone to Ka'b ibn Ashraf. Ka'b ibn Ashraf was also a man in that position at that time. People would go to him, and he was a man who hated the Muslims. Nevertheless, this man Bishr said, if you want, we will go to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A disagreement between the two. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was there. Both the parties came. This Yahudi man, a Jewish man, said, this item belongs to me. And Bishr is saying, no, this item belongs to me. After hearing both their cases, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave a decision that this item belongs to this Jewish man. Ye uska haqdar, you take it. Subhanallah. This man was happy. As he was walking, Bishr came behind him and said to him, look, I know the decision has been given for you, that this item belongs to you, but I'm still not satisfied. I'm still not satisfied. So this Yahudi man, Jewish man said, well, what do you want me to do? Now Bishr thought that, let me take him to Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Umar radiallahu ta'ala was a man who at times openly declared his enmity with the kuffar. So he said, he's a Jewish man. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala will definitely give a decision in my favor. Talking about freedom of speech, here you have a Jewish man and Bishr. He agreed. He said, okay, fine. Let us go to Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an. When they came to Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an said to both of them, Bishr, you speak to me first. You say this item belongs to you, tell me why. Why is this item yours? And he gave his proof and evidence. And then the Jewish man started to speak. After a while, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an said, give me a few minutes to think and I will pass my judgment. The Jewish man said to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an that before you say anything, I want to say something to you. That before coming to you, we have already been to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he passed a judgment that this item belongs to me, but Bishr was not satisfied. Bishr did not agree. So now it is entirely up to you what you decide. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an said to that Jewish man, now you have made it even easy for me to pass my decision. So he went back inside the room and he said to his wife, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an was a man who had many different types of swords. Many different types of swords. And this is not a joke, this is a fact. They say cricket batsmen hote hain na, wo Inzimamul Haq ki tarah aur Pakistan ki jo team hoti hai. Nowadays they tend to have 10 bats or 8 bats, much more. Some bats are very heavy, some according to that individual, how he prefers. So in the case of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, you had also different types of swords. And who would guard the swords? Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an's wife. So he came inside, he said, today I want you to find for me the sharpest blade. The two-sided blade, the sharpest blade. So you get one sword, even if you don't handle it well, and when you try to strike, it could strike you. So the wife said, why, what has happened today? Don't make any hasty decisions. And Hazrat Umar Farooq said, no. No decision, no hasty decision. Give me the sword. Scholars have mentioned that she is the one who selected the sword for Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. BBBSEO. Subhanallah. Look at the Chechenian women. Subhanallah. Women who need to be admired. Look at the Ansari women. Look at the women, Muhajir. Muhajirat. Subhanallah. And the sword was given. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an came out. He came with his sword. Before that person could say anything, Allahu Akbar. Ek war, one swing, and the body was there and the head was on the other side. Now this was something of a shock for the Jewish man. Here Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an has cut off the head of Bishr, who was a Muslim. In Madinatul Munawwara, news breaks out. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an has killed someone cold-bloodedly, without any shari'i valid reason. He has killed someone who came to him so that a decision can be given between the two. The family members of Bishr came and they said that we want to take revenge and we want the life of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala. It is said that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked down. It was a difficult moment for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an has done something, and you have all the family members and the tribes that came straight away. This was the system in Arabia. You kill one and you have 100 standing at your doorstep, tribal. It was all about the tribal system. And this was how it worked. So people feared of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because he was a Qurayshi. And protection was given to him by Abu Talib. So it was not easy for anyone. If you had protection, you were safe. If you did not have protection, you were vulnerable. So you had 100 people coming. And they said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this Jewish man is a witness. Without a valid reason, this person is dead. He said that at that point, revelation came. Wahi came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يَسُدُّونَ عَنْكَ سُدُودًا وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْا إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْا إِلَى مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ وَإِلَى الرَّسُولِ رَأَيْتَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يَسُدُّونَ عَنْكَ سُدُودًا. And when these people are told that come to Allah and the decision of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will find the munafiqeen that they will turn away from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse informing the believers, the Muslims, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Bishr was not a Muslim, he was a munafiq. And the decision of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an was absolutely correct. Why? The punishment in Islam of a murtad is what? Death. He said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that anyone who disagrees with the decision of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is not a Muslim. And therefore he claims to be a Muslim. And if he disagrees with you, he became a murtad. And that is what I have done. I have punished him because he is a murtad. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala acquitted Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an from the blame that was on him. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the people that this is wahi, this is revelation, this is our internal affair. He was a Muslim, he pretended to be a Muslim, but Allah gave me information that he is a munafiq. Clear words were used in the Quran, رَأَيْتَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يَسُدُّونَ عَنْكَ سُدُودًا. So there were limitations also. People were restricted. You could not just swear at a Nabi of Allah. You could not just humiliate someone, disrespect someone. There were rules and regulations. And that is why I say to you that the non-Muslims enjoyed living in an Islamic state, even if they had a choice to live in a Christian country or a country of their birth, they'd rather choose to live in an Islamic state. Now when we compare the Hurriya, the freedom that was given during the time of Khilafat, and the freedom that the Western democracies boast, let us compare, my respected brothers. In 1992, just recently, not very far, Zamana, kya dur tha, a German ambassador to Morocco, he studied Islam and became a Muslim. He was an ambassador for Morocco, a German person. Studying Islam, he became a Muslim. When the German authority found out that this person has become a Muslim, he was forced to resign from his position, from his post. Now where is religious tolerance gone, my respected brothers? If that individual, that ambassador, if he would have embraced Hinduism or Buddhism, it would have been accepted. He still would have been the ambassador of Morocco, the German ambassador for Morocco. But because he chose Islam, he was forced to resign from that position. When we look at European history, in 1492, when Ferdinand and Elizabeth of Spain took over the Muslim rule in Spain, Muslims were massacred, Muslims were killed. It is said that every masjid, when you open the doors of the masajid in Spain, you found nothing but dead bodies. Dead bodies. And it was a time when the Christian world was celebrating. In 1492, Spanish history, the Inquisition. Muslims were not given the choice. The two choices that were given to them, you either become a Christian or you leave Spain. And it was virtually impossible for anyone to leave Spain. Impossible. Thousands were baptized, thousands. Even today when you look at their faces, their physical appearance, it seems that these are Arabs in front of you. But they are not, they are Spanish. Because thousands were forced to become murtad. It is said that children under the age of 12, boys and girls, were taken by the church and baptized. They were church property. They all became murtad. Muslims died, massacred, humiliation. They did not even tolerate the name of Muslim Spain. They did not want history to know that Muslims ever ruled that part of the region, Portugal and Spain. So instead of labeling them as Muslims, another name was given, Moorish. What name was given to them? Moorish. What is Moorish? Moorish is nothing. In order to hide the real identity that Muslims had actually ruled that part of the region for 800 years, they gave another name that these were Moorish people, Moorish people. But they were Muslims. Subhanallah al-Azim. Until today, my respected brothers, go to that part of the region and you will see. On the contrary, when Muslims in the year 636 AD took control of Egypt and Syria, and the entire Roman Empire came into Muslim rule, History bear witness to this, that no one was killed. There was no forced conversion. Churches were never demolished. No places of worship was ever demolished. They had the complete freedom of practicing whatever religion they wanted. Complete freedom. This is the sharp contrast between Sharia, Islamic State, and what the Western democracies boast. Now maybe 1492 is a long way back, many centuries back. Let us talk about our times. 1992 to 1996, what happened? Jo qaum yun keh rahi hai ke we tolerate religious freedom, freedom of speech, and you are free to practice whatever religion you want. From 1992 to 1996, Bosnia, Muslims in Bosnia were completely wiped out, a massacre, a genocide. From one grave, 10,000 Muslim skulls were found. From 1992 to 1996, the Christian world was quiet. All the Western democracies were quiet. Muslims yahan gajar muli ki tarah kat rahe the. Can you imagine if anyone did anything to Israel, what would happen? But from 1992 to 1996, a country not far from England, everything was quiet. Thousands and thousands of Muslims became shaheed. Allahu Akbar Kabir. Everyone completely quiet. So what justice does the West talk about? And when we study history, you pity the Red Indians, don't you? The Red Indians. It is said that majority of them were killed, and those that stayed alive, they were given land in a very remote area, very far away. And the shocking thing is that US citizenship was given to the Red Indians 150 years after American independence. 1924 May, a Red Indian would qualify to become or hold an American passport. 150 years ke baad, that person who was the real man, the native of America, he can claim for a US passport after 150 years. The countries that boast for freedom and who are the protectors of freedom. And what happened in Australia, the Aborigines also. And the worst kind of racism, my respected brothers, not far away from us. It was not the Muslims. And why I am saying this is that we need to open our eyes. Islam is the just system. Islam, Sharia, the rules of the Quran and the rules of the Hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Sharia in general, this is the only system that can protect all of humanity. The worst kind of racism was in South Africa. Nelson Mandela was in prison and only recently he came out. Bichara burha aadmi ho gaya, Allah usko hidayat de. Ameen bole, a good man. The worst kind of racism in South Africa, it was not the Muslims. And it was Gandhi who got slapped in South Africa, and out of anger, he met some of the Muslims and he wanted independence. And the placards that were there, no blacks and dogs allowed in this park. When you study Islam from the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam until the end of the Ottoman Empire, you will have not witnessed any form of racism which South African people witnessed. For centuries, Allahu Akbar. Their language was taken away from them, their culture was taken away from them, they were robbed, they were deprived. And this is why you see civil disharmony that is there in Africa today. Har aadmi ne us mulk ko loota. Har aadmi ne. Besides the Muslims that came, they came with the sincere intention of tijarat. Allahu Akbar Kabir. And on the contrary, when you see Sharia, the closest man to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was an African whose name was Hazrat Bilal. And one of the reasons why the rich aristocrats did not want to come and talk to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because Hazrat Bilal would be on the right hand side of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam all the time. And they would say that how can we meet this man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when peasants and slaves and these poor Abyssinians surround him. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam kept him close. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he conquered the city of Makkah, he said to Hazrat Bilal, climb onto the roof of Kaaba and give azan. An Abyssinian, someone from Africa, to show that Islam is not a religion of discrimination. Subhanallah, it does not discriminate you for your religion or your color. Allahu Akbar. It is a just religion. And when we read the Quran, we come to one surah which is known as Surah Luqman. Surah Luqman. Who was Luqman? Luqman was not an Arab. According to the Mufassireen, Luqman was an African person. Afriki ka admi tha. He was an African man. Atta bin Rabah, one of the great muhaddis of this ummah. Who was he? He was from Africa. The first country where the Muslims migrated to, Habasha, Abyssinia. Subhanallah. Luqman was an African man. He was a slave. He was from Habasha. He was dark skinned. But the Quran talks about him. One entire surah is named after this Abyssinian individual whose name is Luqman. Subhanallah. So what freedom? In fact, you have this double standard that is there. When the United States of America went to protect Vietnam, in a matter of a few months, they killed 1 million Vietnamese. How many? 1 million Vietnamese. And the French killed 1 million Algerians. And in Libya, what did the Italians do? They would take the local Libyans in the plane and would throw them up from the air down. And this also happened in Afghanistan. Now these are recorded facts, my respected brothers. I am not here trying to incite hatred, but these are facts. So that when we have an opportunity to talk, we need to bring the facts out. That look, we are not here to incite hatred. We respect the law of this country. We are British Muslims. We uphold the law of this country. But these are the facts. Don't say that Islam does not serve justice. Islam did not give justice. Subhanallah. The atomic bomb is owned by Western countries. They possessed them and they used it. Yet you have, the Western countries have the chemical weapons, biological weapons, the most sophisticated weapons. They have all the bombs, you name it. And now they talk about this non-proliferation international treaty. Ajib. So you have one standard for a set of countries and another standard for another set of countries. So what is this system, my respected brothers? And a Nobel Prize was given to this French scientist for his atomic research. A Nobel Prize was given to him. So as Muslims, we need to be educated, my respected brothers. So when somebody comes to interview us, when somebody talks about rights of women, when somebody talks about jihad, when somebody talks about what Muslims have contributed, we need to have the right ammunition. We need enough knowledge to speak out to them. Dekhne kya hua hai? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, my respected brothers. We cannot compare the beautiful era of the Khulafai Rashideen and how the Muslim ruled. Subhanallah. If you study the 800 years of the glorious Islamic rule of Spain and Portugal, what is known as Andalusia, people will know what Muslims have contributed. Even Prince Charles, when he came to the Markfield University, he could not but praise the Muslim contribution. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to make amal on what has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. نستغفرك ونتوب إليك، نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. سمعنا وأطعنا، غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.